Hey, guys.
Hey, Sean.
Hey, Sean.
So we did something this week that we almost never do. We did news stories about a resolution in the state legislature.
Yeah, you know, we normally don't cover resolutions because there's not a lot of debate about resolutions generally. They're usually just aimed at honoring a person or a holiday, things like that.
Usually they pass with unanimous consent, you know, no big deal. But this week that changed with a resolution honoring Black History Month.
Well, let's talk about it.
This is the WPR Politics Podcast. I'm John K. Wilson.
I'm Sean Johnson.
And I'm Laurel White.
This week, lawmakers, resolutions, and Colin Kaepernick. Okay, guys, so let's get into this week. We thought there was going to be big news about a tax cut bill that passed the legislature, and we covered it, but there was also something else that you guys ended up writing big stories about.
Mm-hmm. I'll tell you, like, when I had the first sort of inclination that there might be another big story on the day that we were covering the assembly and the tax cut vote, because the assembly vote on the tax cut was the day before the Senate. And there are these press availabilities before the floor vote. And I was sitting in the Assembly Democrats' availability, and they were talking about, you know, their opposition to the tax cut and a lot of things that we've heard before and we've talked, I think, pretty extensively about on this podcast. But then they said, you know, we also want to mention that we have tried to bring up a Black History Month resolution. And to our knowledge, there's some pushback from Republicans on this Black History Month resolution. And so they kind of floated that there was this conflict happening. And that was my first. I remember sending Sean a message like, hey, this might be another story today. I'm not really sure.
Yeah. And I think we sort of went back and forth about, okay, why is there an objection to this?
Mm-hmm.
You know, what's on the resolution that they potentially don't like? And we don't know at this point if they don't like it, but we look at the resolution. And it honors a number of African Americans. I mean, it's a long list of people who have made. I'm going to refer to the resolution here. It actually refers to people of African descent or African Americans who've made measurable differences in their respective industries. And on the list includes Lucien H. Palmer, the first African American to be elected in the Wisconsin Assembly, Violet Neatley Anderson, the first African-American woman to practice law before the United States Supreme Court, former Secretary of State Condoleezza Rice. Okay, but then there's a name on there that gives us kind of that aha moment.
Mm-hmm.
This is, yes, there's going to be objection to this.
Yeah, it was Colin Kaepernick, and I remember that moment. It was sort of like Sean had the realization separate from, because I'm going between these press availabilities. So I go to the assembly availability, that's where it's, or the Democrats, and that's where it's kind of flagged, and I message Sean. Sean's looking at the text of the resolution. I'm sitting in the Republicans' availability, and Jim Steinke, the Assembly Majority Leader, says, someone asks him, what are concerns about this resolution that Democrats told us about? Steinke says, well, it's Colin Kaepernick. And very close to that time that Steinke said that, I got a Slack message from Sean that said, I think it might be Colin Kaepernick.
So, I don't think there was any doubt.
You just said Colin Kaepernick.
Yeah, this is a story at that point, I feel like.
So for those who aren't familiar with the National Footballing League, do you want to just go real quick and say who Colin Kaepernick is?
Colin Kaepernick is, I think we have to at this point refer to him as a former NFL quarterback because he's been out of the league for a year, although he says he'd like to still play. He was a quarterback for the San Francisco 49ers, and he gained notoriety outside of football for initially sitting during the national anthem and then taking a knee during the national anthem to protest police brutality.
Mm-hmm.
So this gets him a lot of acclaim from people who say he's doing the right thing, but it gets him a lot of negative attention from people like President Donald Trump, who say he's disrespecting the flag. And Trump makes Colin Kaepernick kind of the face of this protest, which other football players have since followed. And I think he still is that today because
mm-hmm.
he's not playing football. And I mean, he wasn't like.
He's still a very powerfully controversial figure. Do you remember when Nike rolled out that campaign that Colin Kaepernick was the face of? I feel like that was just right before the holidays. last year, and there was still a lot of feeling about that. So it's definitely not died down. And I think it's important to mention here, this is actually something Sean told me about this week, but I'm going to take credit for knowing it now by saying it, that Colin Kaepernick grew up in Wisconsin in part.
He's from Milwaukee, yeah, mm-hmm. And didn't just live in Milwaukee either. I think he may have also lived in Fond du Lac.
So he has it's not just that he's a national figure and kind of in this movement, but he also has a Wisconsin connection.
Yeah. And in less important news, he also destroyed the Green Bay Packers in some notable playoff games a few years ago. But
so there's that Wisconsin
there's also
connection
that connection,
as well.
Yeah. But I don't think that's the reason that anybody objected to honoring him in a resolution. So what did – this is the only place really in the assembly where Republicans talked about the way they felt about the Kaepernick resolution. What did they say?
So essentially what Assembly Speaker Robin Voss said when he was asked about this at that pre-session availability was that he just thought that it was kind of unfortunate that this resolution named Kaepernick because he is such a polarizing figure. People have strong feelings on either side about whether he's doing the right thing or is being inappropriate. And he said, you know, for resolutions like this, we should be looking for people that everybody agrees on. People that bring everyone together rather than divide people. And he sort of referenced back to how there's been a lot of talk of bipartisanship in the state capitol recently and everybody kind of working together and getting along. And he said, that's what we need to be focused on. And this resolution is an example of sort of stoking the flames of not getting along.
So not to split hairs here, but he was basically objecting, or at least he was saying the reason he was objecting is because he doesn't want to honor a divisive figure, not saying, I don't want to honor this particular person because I disagree with him or I don't support what he supports. It was the reason he was citing was that he's divisive.
Yeah, he was talking more about how there are some people in his caucus who had concerns with, you know, voting for a resolution that honored this individual and how that created conflict within the state assembly.
Without exactly getting into the reasons why they have issues with
him. Exactly. Like he never got specific in that availability about, you know, people have concerns with Colin Kaepernick because of XYZ. You know, I think that was kind of everybody was operating with the running knowledge of where Colin Kaepernick sits in the national debate about race right now. And I think, you know, Assembly Majority Leader Steinicke said Kaepernick is obviously a controversial figure when people asked, you know, what's the holdup on this resolution. So that was sort of the foundation. That's what we had to work with when we went into the assembly and they started to debate. The ground was set for what sort of conflict might happen, but I think it became even bigger than we expected.
So what happened?
I really teed it up there,
yeah.
Didn't I?
You teed up my question nicely. So then what happened?
Well, so basically what happened was they started this debate, and Republicans had their own Black History Month resolution that didn't have Colin Kaepernick in it. So they tried to bring that up instead of the resolution that had been drafted. The resolution that we've been talking about previously on this podcast and the first resolution that was up was one that was drafted by the Legislative Black Caucus. So Republican assembly members had their own resolution that they drafted. It was different in that it didn't mention Colin Kaepernick, and it included a couple individuals that weren't included in the other resolution. It included the new lieutenant governor, Mandela Barnes. It included Vel Phillips, who passed away last year, was the first Black woman to be elected to statewide office in Wisconsin. So they kind of put that out there. Democrats said, we don't want to vote on that resolution. We don't want to vote on something that wasn't drafted by the Legislative Black Caucus. So there was kind of the back and forth and the debate on that. And it essentially, at that point, got tabled. And the assembly moved on to debate about the tax cut package and debated that for a while. And as that's going on, we notice, reporters notice, that the chair of the Legislative Black Caucus is going back into the offices of the speaker to talk to him, presumably about the resolution that did not get a vote. So the tax debate happens. This takes quite a bit of time. And at the very end of session, after the tax cut bill passes, everybody comes back out. The chair of the Legislative Black Caucus, who's Representative David Crowley from Milwaukee, says that they've come to an agreement. I believe he said it gave him heartburn to have this compromise struck. But essentially what they did was came to an agreement that they were going to have a resolution that didn't name Kaepernick, and that it was agreed upon between the Legislative Black Caucus and Assembly Republicans. So they bring that resolution up. It passes unanimously out of the Assembly. And, you know, that was kind of what one might think is the end of that debate, right? But it definitely wasn't.
Yeah, there was a 95-0 vote. If you look at the record as to what happened in the Assembly, this hugely contentious issue, this polarizing figure was taken off of this resolution, and 95-0. Mm-hmm. Well, you know, it was almost immediately that that some Assembly Democrats started having second thoughts about that vote.
Their heartburn flared up?
Yeah, a little bit. And so one of the statements that came out, the one that I noticed first was Representative Lakeisha Myers, a Democrat from Milwaukee. She put out a statement saying the insistence that Colin Kaepernick's name be removed from the Black History Month resolution was an exercise in white privilege and one that I cannot accept. To agree to the watered down version of this resolution would mean supporting the suppression of the African Americans' fundamental right to protest injustice. That is something I cannot and will not do.
So she changed her vote.
So other Democrats see this and they say, yes, me too. You know, I also want to change my vote. Now, I think the official record will still show a 95-0 vote, but it's the kind of thing that, like, in the journal, if you go deeper into the historical record of what happened in the Assembly that day, the Assembly chief clerk will report that these lawmakers wanted to change their vote. So it goes to the Senate the next day, same resolution. They are not having it. Democrats over there are not having it. Like, they're not, it's not going to get a unanimous vote over there. That's very clear from the get-go. Mm-hmm. So a number of Democrats speak during this period. No Republicans speak. But I think they're the Democrat who spends the most time talking during this period in the Senate is Lena Taylor. She is an African-American lawmaker from Milwaukee. Here's a sampling of what Lena Taylor had to say.
I want each and every one to answer whether or not they have the courage to tell Wisconsin why they believe a Wisconsin native does not deserve the right to stand up for the injustices that exist. You object to a Negro having the audacity to speak up? The Wisconsin white Republican legislators are going to decide which forms of protest are acceptable?
So it becomes very apparent during a debate like this. There are 33 state senators, and when you're talking about this issue, you look around the room and it becomes very apparent that there are two Black lawmakers in that chamber. There's Lena Taylor and there's LaTonya Johnson, and that's it. And so we're talking about this Black History Month, and it's 31 white people and two Black people who are talking about it. And you just cannot escape that fact. Like, that is staring you in the face. And Lena Taylor doesn't let people forget that either. Neither does LaTonya Johnson. She says, we need some diversity in this building. Mm-hmm. Those were some strong words from Senator Taylor, who, you know, this is not, there have been many issues. There will be many more issues this year where Lena Taylor speaks more than any other lawmaker. That's not unusual. Mm-hmm. But the things she was saying on this resolution were getting right to the matter, I think you could say.
So I just want to mention here something that I didn't. I feel like the debate in the Assembly was kind of complicated because of the different procedural moves and the competing resolutions and the amendments and bringing it up at different times at the beginning and the end of the floor session. But the debate in the assembly was kind of similar to what you were talking about in the Senate, in that it was very dominated by Democrats. Not a lot of Republicans spoke. Assembly Speaker Voss did speak on the floor as well, kind of echoing those things that I said that he mentioned in the press availability before session, just talking about how he kind of thought it was a bit of a distraction from what they really wanted to focus on that day, which was the Republican-backed tax cut. But that was a fairly quick remark. And what came from a lot of Democratic lawmakers was the sentiment that it was sort of inappropriate that Assembly Republicans were saying, this is who African Americans in the state assembly or the state legislature as a whole should honor. I talked a little bit about Representative David Crowley earlier, who's the chair of the caucus, the Black caucus, and he said, you know, we should be able to choose the people that we want to honor from our community. And that should be something that's respected, and our autonomy in making that sort of judgment about who our community wants to honor should be respected. And that was echoed by Representative David Bowen, who's a African-American representative from Milwaukee. And he actually gave a speech at the very end of the night when the new resolution came up that wasn't honoring Kaepernick. And he said that he felt like he was being forced to choose how Black he was going to be that day. He said, am I going to have to be sort of half Black, or am I all Black? And I think it was him saying that maybe voting for a resolution that wasn't fully what they had wanted to begin with was that half Black option. So it was certainly a powerful debate. We heard that powerful tape from Lena Taylor there in the Senate. So I just kind of wanted to circle back to the assembly, because I felt like I kind of got into the procedure about that a little bit, and I wanted to let people know that there was
debate
there.
Was similar there. The outcome was not.
Right.
And the final vote in the Senate was a party line vote. They passed a resolution without Kaepernick in it. It was a 19-14 vote with all Republicans in favor, all Democrats against. There were a number of procedural votes there along the way where, you know, Democrats tried to offer their own amendments, tried to table it, tried to return it to author. Those all failed. In the end, it's a Republican-authored resolution without Kaepernick in it.
And that no Democrats voted for.
Yeah.
Right? But it still passed because of the Republican majorities in each house. And because it's a resolution, it's not something that the governor has to sign, right? It's just...
No, it's an assembly joint resolution, and that's it. And we got at this in the intro here, that this is not... It's not a bill. It's not creating a law. That was the end of the road for this. It was a discussion in the two chambers of the legislature about Colin Kaepernick and his role in society today, really.
So obviously we've talked about, you know, the debate about the resolution, what the resolution was trying to do. But I think a big part of this conversation and coverage of it this week was whether or not this was a, you know, quote unquote, distraction from the Republican tax bill. That's something that the assembly speaker said on the assembly floor, that it was a bit of a distraction from what they had come here to do that day, which was a tax cut that was going to benefit middle income earning Wisconsinites across the state. How did you kind of see that? You had a little bit of an anecdote, I know, from Senate coverage. How did you see that playing out in terms of, like, how people were covering this, how much attention people were paying to the resolution versus the tax cut?
So observing the Senate from where, you know, sitting over in the media area, there were a lot of cameras in the Senate on the day that they debated these two issues. Mm-hmm. And perhaps it had something to do with the debate going so long. Or perhaps it was the subject matter. But by the time the resolution debate was done, most of the TV cameras had left. Mm-hmm. So the stories that they did that day would have been focused on that resolution and not on the tax cut. Mm-hmm. You know, did Democrats know that would happen? I mean, we both looked at this resolution and said, oh, Colin Kaepernick's name in there, that's a story because Republicans aren't going to support that. You know, Democrats are going to know that, too. So they, you know, maybe they were comfortable with that. I don't know. But I got the sense, at least listening to the debate, that that aside, they would like to have this debate. Mm-hmm. Like, they want to talk about Colin Kaepernick right now. He is important to them. He's just not a name on that list. Mm-hmm. Like, he is a contemporary name, somebody who's kind of stuck his neck out. And I got the sense that they feel strongly about it.
Mm-hmm. That they thought that it wasn't a distraction, but a conversation about things that are very important to a lot of Wisconsinites. I think the counter argument from Democrats would probably be, well, you know, racial inequality or police brutality or how we relate to these issues, the different sides, figuring out how to talk about this stuff is just as important as the middle class tax cut. So it's just kind of an interesting, it was an interesting choice. They did say at one point, I think this was early on, that this was the only time that the assembly was going to meet in February. And February is obviously Black History Month. So this was the time for this to happen. This was when the tax cut was scheduled to happen. I mean, Republicans wanted to get this tax cut bill passed before the governor introduces his budget later this month. So it could have just been sort of a consequence of timing that, you know, this is when the resolution needed to come up and this is when the tax cut was coming up. But
the practical effect is, at least in the Senate, where I was able to watch it, there was more interest for the resolution than for the tax cut.
I mean, I think maybe it's worth unpacking here, too. Like, if it's an issue that Democrats wanted to talk about, why would they know that Republicans would not be in favor of supporting a resolution with Kaepernick in it?
I guess you look at the person who's kind of driving the issue. You know, the president of the United States has said that Colin Kaepernick is disrespecting the flag, disrespecting the military. Mm-hmm. He has pushed the National Football League, pushed NFL owners to ban players from doing this.
And on a more state level, too, we know that Governor Scott Walker has tweeted about Colin Kaepernick.
He absolutely has. I mean, there's the former leader of the Republican Party in Wisconsin taking a page out of the president's book there and using it in his own race. So this is something that Republicans have embraced. Like, they think that the public is with them on it, that the public will view what Kaepernick is doing as more of a disrespecting the flag than political protest. Mm-hmm. So none of this really came up in the debate so much. I mean, it was what you talked about with Voss saying it was distracting from the tax cuts. There was a tweet that made a little news, just like a kind of a one tangent here before we hit the road. This came from Representative Barbara Dietrich's account. And it said, quote, Colin Kaepernick wore socks depicting police as pigs. Flags are flying at half staff for a murdered policeman. Are you kidding me? ? A little context here. I mean, the state assembly did on that day honor the Milwaukee police officer who was shot in the line of duty, who was killed in the line of duty. This did not come from the representative. She distanced herself from it relatively quickly.
The tweet was deleted very quickly, and she distanced herself from it. She said a staffer wrote it.
It came from a staffer who we now know has retired, is what the state assembly said. He's no longer working there. Mm-hmm. But you know what? So what was said in that tweet is something you could imagine coming up in an actual debate about Colin Kaepernick.
Right.
But you did not hear that in the debate in the Wisconsin legislature.
Yeah. Republicans sort of were content, it seems, to just say, we're opposed to this individual. We trust that the public knows why. We're going to sit back. We're going to support this resolution that doesn't have him in it. And that's enough for us.
Well, I guess you never know when something small like a resolution is going to become big, complicated news. Sean Johnson is WPR's Capitol Bureau Chief.
Laurel White is WPR's Capitol Reporter.
And John K. Wilson is our resident politics nerd.
something that everybody should be able to agree on, is that if you want top-notch listening, you should subscribe to the WBR Politics podcast on iTunes. You'll get new episodes delivered to you almost every single week. You can also find the show on Google Play and Stitcher, as well as many other podcast apps. And you can catch up on all of our past episodes anytime at wpr.org/politics.